Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well-intended people all over America assume that every child should be taught the same thing in the same way. The truth is that there are specific learning needs of people that are directly connected to social orientation. Today we will answer the question, how do you educate a young man in the 21st century? Welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful to have you join us again this April 25th, 2017, as well as having our regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, in with us again, and you, our listening audience. You can connect with us live and participate in this 30-minute episode by calling 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. And we're going to get right into our discussion today and begin that with our monologue. As you previously heard, the question is, how do you educate a young man in the 21st century? Proverbs, the 22nd chapter and the 6th verse reads, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The word education is derived from the Latin educo, which means in Latin, I educate, I train. In practice, it is the process of facilitating learning, or the acquisition of knowledge, skills, values, beliefs, and habits. Educational methods include storytelling, discussions, like we're doing today, teaching, training, and directed research in an organized environment. Education frequently takes place under the guidance of educators or trained individuals. But learners may also educate themselves through real life experience. Education can take place in formal or informal settings, such as a structured classroom, or you could just be on the street learning. And any experience that we go through that has some way of impacting or forming our opinion and our viewpoint, in the future, is considered to be an educational experience, right? And we should learn from it. We should and could learn from it. Specifically, the method that a teacher uses when trying to teach someone is called pedagogy. Now, I want to talk briefly about what the mission or the aim of education is. Why is it that one should get an education? Well, the role of education in any culture or society is to prepare its citizens, equipping them with the knowledge of how to access information about resources and how to utilize those resources within their society. Okay? So the primary focus is to empower them to be competitive and to be active participants in their society. In order to be effective at educating individuals, instruction must be guided by the will and interest of those who are learning. As related to a young man, instructional pedagogy, the approach or style of teaching, must cater to the social emotional orientation of the male psyche or the young man. Now, I'll cite three historical examples. In 1896, the first Supreme Court ruling on education involved Plessy versus Ferguson, where it was a question: should blacks and whites learn in the same classroom? Should they sit next to each other? Were they equal to one another? Well, the Supreme Court said in 1896, no, absolutely not. They should be separate but have equal opportunities or accommodations. This was the law of the land until 1954, or after 1954, when the late Thurgood Marshall, Supreme Court Justice and attorney for the National Advancement of the Colored People, fought that case, Brown versus Board of Education of Topeka, Kansas. And basically it reversed the 1896 Supreme Court ruling and said, yes, they should be allowed to be in the same classroom. Well, over the last 50-plus years, we've seen this social experiment evolve. And it begs the question, in 2017, why is it that we have so many, particularly, according to the data, African-American males who are not doing so well in math, reading, and other content areas than their counterparts, females, and other ethnic groups? Well, we're going to address that in a little bit here. The process of teaching at-risk focus on urban intentionally, because typically this is where we find where the data leads us, is to urban areas where there are African-American males in public schools all across America. Well, the process of teaching those individuals, based on the learning theory of Albert Bandura, who was a professor at Stanford University, he wrote in 1969 a concept called the likeness and learning theory, or he introduced it, I should say. And what it said simply is a person patterns their thoughts, feelings, or actions after the person who they see as a role model, as a mentor, somebody they look up to. What that tells me specifically is there is a need to focus, when we're talking about at-risk African-American males, on first letting them know that you should not identify yourself as a throwaway, as a nobody, as someone who has no place in society, but more importantly, as someone with vision, someone with skill, with creativity, and with the potential to operate universally. With this identity, knowing who they are and from whence they come, they are able to identify what their purpose of being born in the world is. With this sense of cultural purpose, then can identify where they want to go. Nobody dictates to them if they just live in a slum or in a ghetto, but they have the material resources, the knowledge of how to acquire those things, such that they dictate where they live, what their quality of life is, and how they develop their families and the next generation behind them. Now, you tune in to Talk Straight, and it's Talk Straight for a reason. Y'all give me a call here at 657-383-0944. If you're tuning in from Facebook, you can respond to the questions thread that are posed there. We're happy to engage you along those lines. Pastor Waller, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing, Pastor Doc Ray?
Pretty good, pretty good. Pastor Waller has been a weight for me and holding me down, keeping me focused and straight, making sure I don't go off the straight and narrow path. Where did I go wrong in my monologue this morning, sir?
Yeah, every time I get a chance to hear you, it just makes me want to sit back and continue to listen, because school is always in session, I see, man. You land the foundation down, man. You're teaching really good right now to me, because I just learned something from what you shared. And I trust that the listening audience have also received something thus far. When you're talking about learning and being taught, I thought it was so many areas that could be covered there about the teaching. And I remember years ago when I used to hear a certain song that says, "Nobody's interested in learning but the teacher." And what about that? I said, "My goodness." And then I looked into, I would say, a grown up. Now, I was a young kid growing up thinking I knew some things, and, taught some things according to not in the church or anything, because I heard the scripture that you utilized, and I thought that was very unique when it says train up a child.
Right.
The way it should
go.
And that means that it takes a training to do that. But I thought about, what about when you don't have a Bible, when you don't know that it's in the Bible, and then you have to deal with the world and all it has to offer. And in certain areas, man, there's a lot of schooling going on. And people are being what they see others do. And that happens. Something that weighed me down when I heard you talking about that. As I was taught, I would say, and I thank God for the teachers in school that did the best that they could do at the time.
Right.
But the ongoing learning came from the, you know, that I had to participate in coming home from school, you know, seeing guys, you know, standing on the corner, or just seeing guys as I was on my way home from school, and just realizing that this was ongoing. And suddenly, I became a student. Of the
unaware.
Right. Yes, with no intention come back, but because of the time of the teaching,
I
started the activities and how to carry them out. And I would say much easier than I could in school learning what 2 + 2 was or what the science was, you know, and things like that. So
you're raising the key issue here, Pastor. And I brought in the Supreme Court cases for a reason in my monologue. And you're hitting it right now. You're hitting it dead on the head, man. You see, the difference in how and the motivation for African-American learners historically has had somewhat slightly a difference than whites or even Hispanics. What you're telling us is what was important to you are the people you saw on the streets, the one you wanted to be like, the ones you wanted to identify with one day, and you can see yourself being them on the block one day, right? Now, here's the problem, Pastor. Because of the politics related to those Supreme Court cases and other issues, teachers have not been trained to take into account what's on a young man's mind when they come in your classroom. What keeps them up at night, or what motivates them to get up in the morning? What is it that they're trying to get home to after they get out of school?
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's right. Breakdown is.
Yeah.
And if we can tap into that interest, and that's what the likeness and learning theory really deals with, is the fact that when you go beyond just teaching 1 + 1 = 2, there's a
mm-hmm.
motivation for the wanting to learn that or not wanting to learn that.
Exactly. And then once the excitement takes place from leaving the school to getting at home to see the
mm-hmm.
ongoing again teaching that comes from even being unaware, but the
right.
teaching is going on. And suddenly you adapt to the teaching and start to learn how to carry it out. In other words, now you can apply it in your life. You know, but I'm
right.
reminded, according to Scripture, though, after now learning what the Scripture says a little bit, and I notice here in the book of Psalms 71, in verse 14, it says, "But I will hope continually and will praise thee yet more and more."
Right.
And now just drop down to verse 18, it says, "Yeah, even when I am old and gray-headed,
mm.
O God, forsake me not.
Right.
Still
right.
have declared thy strength unto the next generation." In other words, now, coming aware, it's time to teach the next generation and the generation to come about what to look for when you come home from school. Because once you're dismissed and the bell rings and you're dismissed,
uh-huh.
there's an excitement comes from that. Suddenly you can't wait to get home. And as you head home, you turn a certain corner. And
I
there
see.
They go.
I see.
There they
go.
Right there.
That's it.
And then you got to change. You have to see what they're going to bring today in the teaching. You see?
Right.
And that just
right.
happened to have taken place. I'm looking back on my life now. That's what happened to me. And all of a sudden,
yeah.
I became the very thing that I saw and heard them guys carrying out, you know? That how did I become a popular drug dealer? You know, it's because I was taught. And
That's
I
it.
Learned. And I
That's
started
it.
To carry it out. But nobody told me the penalty that was going to come from it. You see,
mm-hmm.
and the harm going to bring forth to my community. See, nobody told me that in my
right.
teaching, in my learning. You see, and after I started to teach the brothers how to do the things that I learned,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't able
mm-hmm.
to explain to them, well, look, if you get caught, you get sent to prison, you know, or if this happens,
yeah.
you might get shot down.
Right.
I didn't get a chance to teach the brothers that. I just handed them the supply. You know, here it is.
That's right.
Take this over here.
Right.
Carry this out. And see, that
and
comes from being taught.
If I might, you're absolutely right, man. I appreciate you because this is good information. Somebody would ask, why are you focusing on males or even African-American males? Because what the
mm-hmm.
research and the data tells us, sir, is if anybody's
yeah.
going to go to jail, they'll like to go before anyone else will. I got a caller.
Oh,
here.
Well.
Let me entertain a caller here. Caller, good morning. How are you? You on Talk Straight. Hello? 313.
You're rocking the chat line with rocking, talking guys and gals 24/7. Operator, no.
Okay. All right. Look like we got something else there going on there. I'm not sure what that was. But nonetheless, where we are is we're at a point where if we don't focus on where the problem is, and that's what the data tells us the problem is. That's where the data tells us the problem is. And if we don't focus on that, what we find out is that you find yourself missing out on key opportunities to really learn how to, like you said, avoid the snares and the trap that you write about in your book, right?
Yes.
Because
sure.
anybody can get caught in the trap unconsciously. But when we
oh,
talk
yeah.
about learning, we're talking about consciously changing our behavior based on information we've received. That's really how you measure learning. When you can see a noticeable change in a person's behavior, then we have some change. All right, let me see if this the caller is still online. Let me see if we can get them to what.
What's up, baby?
Like pretty early.
Why are you so mad, baby? Why are you so mad, baby?
Okay. It looks like that there is another radio station that has tuned in to our station, and they got a conversation
okay.
going on. We're gonna move on beyond that. And that's good. 313, I'm not sure what area code that is at the moment, but what we do is we reach out to different cities and states. So perhaps we will get this author here. I'll call back, and we'll try to establish some sensible communication and dialogue later on. But nonetheless, we're talking about how do you educate a young man in the 21st century. Today is the 21st century. It's a whole lot going on. And it's a lot of stuff. In fact, people can look on their phones, man, 24 hours a day. And you can
yeah.
type in a keyword and on Google and ask a question, and somebody's going to give you an answer, whether it's the truth or not. They're going to give you an answer,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, do
and
that.
What happens is, I mean, you know, I remember growing up on the streets myself, you know. I looked to a lot of the cats that I hung out with to tell me what the truth was. And guess what? None of us knew what we were talking about, Pastor.
Oh, my.
We were all
my
just
goodness,
shooting
man.
From the hip, man.
That's what you do, brother. That's it. Yes, sir. That's the way it is.
We just shooting
and
from the hip, you know.
It still holds good today,
go
and it's still doing the same thing. And this is the
yes,
thing, and what needs to be taught, you know, to the brothers and sisters today is how to be aware of the trap.
Right. That's it.
And how can you know the trap when you don't know it? Well,
uh-oh.
You get taught. You know, that's where the teaching come in, you see. And then when you become aware of the trap, and then when you come home from school, from learning all that, what they have to offer in there, and it can to manifest inside of you. So by the time you on your way home, you've got something to stand on because you got knowledge now to be aware of the wicked.
Right.
That will cause you stray away from that what you just learned in school, you see, and all of a sudden
right.
you transfer that what you learned in school to that what you will get to learn in the street.
Absolutely.
You see, you make an exchange. And so what you don't
right.
want to do is make an exchange, because that exchange is going to cause you a lot of pain to yourself and others unaware.
Right.
And that's,
you know,
your whole debate.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I never will forget, I was doing a presentation in at a school social workers, I want to say convention, but it wasn't a convention. It was their conference, I'm sorry. And what was interesting is I asked one of the participants in my breakout group if they thought there was something a drug dealer, gangbanger, or robber can do to help them with a young person in their classroom that was caught up in the streets and have issues with legality and what have you. And several of them looked at me, I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, suppose they looked up to the hustler, the gangbanger, the drug dealer, and at least if
right.
nothing else, they told them to value the instruction you were given. Would that be useful? After hearing it that way, Pastor, they changed
uh-huh.
their point of view. I
okay.
think we're locked in the idea that there's only one way people can learn, when the truth of the
oh.
matter is, as I mentioned in my monologue, there are both formal and informal situations by which we learn under. And if we're wise,
yes.
as you're pointing out so beautifully, you pointed out beautifully, if we're wise, we'll be able to identify that. We'll understand how to build on the formal knowledge that they've learned in the informal environment of learning at home. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Does that make sense? I mean, because that's
make
where we are right there. That's what we are.
That's right. You know, and you know, the Bible says, for you were going astray like sheep. You see, and that's what happened. You know, but I now return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So in other words, then, you know, you had to have information, you know, that would cause them to not stray and be knocked off their own senses, because see, in school, they probably very smart, you know, learning and things like that, and have a steadfastness while they are in school. You see, it's just like when our kids go to church, they have a steadfastness while they're in church, but remember, they have to leave out of the church building.
Right.
And then they come to another style of teaching that's available, and they just may run into it on their way home from school. You
right.
see? And that's what happens a lot of times, man. And don't let the weekend take place, and they don't have to go to school, and they don't have no homework and things like that. Because a lot of time I was told that they don't even send you home with homework anymore. You know, do your homework, you know, things like that. So I don't know, because I haven't been in a long time. But I do know it's a dangerous thing, you know, to have gain knowledge inside the church house. And by the time you leave the church house, they're waiting on you, not intentionally, but just because it has such a look that it will cause you to draw closer to what it look and sound like, and suddenly you become a part of it, even after you have been in church and gotten some great information, possibly, I would love to say. Same thing in school. You have gotten some in school. And then you come home and you run into this type of trap, man. And, man, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, man. I mean, the trap that I ran into, you know, that caused all this pain that I had to deal with, man.
Right.
You
but
know,
here's the good news.
The pain.
Go ahead. Here's the good news. Hmm? We now know that we have to be conscious of these things, right?
Yeah.
My
yes,
hope
sir.
Is this episode will help someone understand how they can turn around and improve, basically, in their education of young people. So as we share this in our targeted areas in our cities, as we continue to air, we want people to understand that's the whole purpose of this show, is to be educational in nature. This is a key issue right here. If we're going to move the dial on saving our young men and empowering them through education, equipping them to become the masters of their own destiny, this is very key. This is very key. We're down to 2 minutes, Pastor. Can you believe that already?
And the time just went right on by, man. Yes, it did.
Down to 2 minutes. But I want to encourage you, listening audience, to archive the show, listen to it in its entirety. Go to www.bfcinstitute.com and learn more about what we're doing, our various programs. But more importantly, make a contribution to support our efforts to move around the country and share this important information and dialogue in lecture format, workshop, and forum settings. Pastor, I want to thank you for joining us again, and we'll come back Thursday, more than likely at this time slot again. We're kind of moving fast here now and trying to piece together our overall lecture series, traveling series. So bear with us. We hope to be able to get back to our hour and a half format again on Tuesday and Thursdays. But bear with us now. Thank you for tuning in to us. And time has just got away from us, man. I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. again, we thank each and every one of you. And in the last few seconds, we're going to get a little bit of order of my steps here before we get out of here.
God, good thanks all the time. And all the time, God is